party time, is it? I don't know. It's not energized by nuclear energy yet, this party. We haven't been evaporated by thermonuclear bombs, intercontinental ballistic missiles. Ha! But the countdown is on. DEFCON, yeah. What is it? The low number is the scary one?
Mm-hmm.
It's like DEFCON 1.
Yeah, this is, yeah. I think you could say this is party accelerator time.
Yeah, I feel like we're watching Matthew Broderick trying to stop the war games.
Right.
You know? Anyway, I hope Josh Jennings, of course, on the hot seat. I hope we're not in that situation.
Yeah, the last episode of the Chad Prather Show.
God, I hope that's not prophetic. What do you think? Do you think Vladimir Putin would have gone into Ukraine the way that he did if Donald Trump had been president?
No, I don't. I think it's possible, but I don't think it's very likely. I mean, he's been seething to do it for a long time, but no, I think Trump had enough of the crazy card that he could lay on the table that unless Putin really is dying and he's, you know, on his way out and wants to leave his mark on history, I don't think he would have.
Yeah, I think that Putin, and I've said this before, I think he sees it as his legacy to do what his predecessors did, whether it was Catherine the Great or Peter the Great. They all did it.
Yeah.
They all did it. The same type deal of trying to, you know, annex these countries back in and dominate them. I think
that's involved. I think also, I mean, there is a little bit of legitimacy to some of his concerns, I think, with the UN kind of creeping in, NATO, not UN,
NATO.
Creeping in over time and pushing at the borders. I mean, if I try to put myself inside of the mind of somebody who's on the other side of that imaginary now wall, I mean, I could see thinking that way. But yeah, I think most of it. I think most people in, you know, power, especially dictatorial power, are very concerned about legacy.
Yeah.
You know, you get all the money, which he has. You get all of the women, all of the parties, all of the things. What have you got left?
Yeah.
Legacy.
Yeah, it's a perverted way to go about it. I mean, I believe legacy is a big, important thing in everybody's life, but wow.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. The Puppet Master Mark and Super Chris Cruz driving us into the nether regions of all things thermonuclear insanity. And it's a scary thought when you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of us start, you know, putting our head under the rug and saying, putting our head in the sand, so to speak, and just thinking, it's going to be fine. But we have a driveling idiot at the helm.
Oh, yeah.
In America who can't read a note card, much less handle international diplomacy.
Right.
And talk this nonsense off the ledge.
Can
so.
We play it again, just in case people missed it on Thursday?
Yeah, play it. I'm always happy to see it. I'm always happy to see it.
I got hard trouble reading this. Reuters, Netanyahu Bose.
Yeah. He should have just said, "Hey, I'm looking for you, diverse tacos."
The great orator of our time, the Winston Churchill, of the 21st century.
It really is.
God, yeah. We're screwed.
Such a statesman. But that's okay. He was in China. He said, "You know, there's no reason to have a cold war with China. I mean, why not? Let's cozy up to the communists."
Yeah,
in fact,
right.
We got that clip number three. Let's play it.
I absolutely believe there's need not be a new cold war. I've met many times with Xi Jinping, and we were candid and clear with one another across the board. And I do not think there's any imminent attempt on the part of China to invade Taiwan. And I made it clear that our policy on Taiwan has not changed at all. It's the same exact position we've had. I made it clear that we want to see cross-strait issues peacefully resolved, and so it never has to come to that. And I'm convinced that that he understood exactly what I was saying. I understood what he was saying.
Yeah. Did you?
So there's no imminent attack on Taiwan planned, despite all the times that China talks about their imminent attack on Taiwan.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they send a few warships and screaming fighter planes over their airspace, and it's like, no, there's no imminent. And I mean, listen, this whole thing comes down to the interpreters, in my opinion. The interpreters are the ones who are determined whether or not we live or die, because if they get one word wrong.
That's a good point.
Well, it is, because Joe Biden can't speak English, much less Mandarin.
Do you remember a number of years ago when Obama was president, and there was somebody who was doing the sign language interpretation for him, but they didn't actually speak sign language or use it, and so it was just all fluff,
gibberish.
Maybe that person somehow sneaked back in.
Yeah,
and is doing all of the translating now.
We want to make sure that that's a well-vetted person.
Yeah. Perfect example of why you need a perfect interpretation was when Hillary gave the reset button. Remember that whole debacle?
Yeah.
The reset did not translate completely incorrectly on the button, and like that was a whole thing.
Well, okay, so that was her little attempt at humor there of hitting the reset button. And that was lost in translation. I learned a long time ago that when you go and speak internationally, and you know, I remember people telling me, we went 1994, I was in Russia, I was in Moscow, and we were teaching classes there, and they were like, and I'm a humor guy, right? And they were like, don't try. It's lost. Don't, like, the nuance, sarcasm, all of those things, the colloquialisms, all of these different things that you would need to execute humor, you can't do that. Yeah. And if you're doing it through a translator, you could forget it.
Right.
You could forget it.
So it's not just a matter of, you know, in Russia, whatever who was the famous comedian who came out of Russia that everybody knew here? Yakov Smirnoff, the whole reversal make the joke thing doesn't work over there for you.
It doesn't work, and it's sort of like doing comedy in Indiana. I mean, those people don't understand sarcasm in the Midwest. They just, they're strict, which I will be in Fort Wayne, Indiana on February 13th,
right.
And I will come chock full of sarcasm for a brief time
before they run you out on a rail.
My Indianians. I did a show years ago at Terre Haute, and I was like, this ain't gonna go good at all. I mean, that was a room full of farmers, and they were staring me down, bro. But no, it's kind of lost. And you got to be careful with what you say, as it gets lost in translation. But I don't know, man. Joe was in. Let's before we get to that, hang on. Go to that. Play clip number 4.
Did you find him personally to be more confrontational or more conciliatory and willing to compromise?
Neither and yes. Can you elaborate? Yes, I didn't find him more confrontational or more conciliatory. I found him the way he's always been, direct and straightforward. And do I think he's willing to compromise on various issues? Yes. I think he understands that. Look, I think, how can I say this tactfully?
Please try.
I think the election held in the United States, which still leaves a little bit uncertain, has sent a very strong message around the world that the United States is ready to play. The United States is, the Republicans who survived, along with the Democrats, are of the view that we're going to stay fully engaged in the world, and that we, in fact, know what we're about.
Let me interpret that for you.
Please.
So he says that the debacle, which is the American elections, and all of the problems that it presented, says to the world, we're ready to play.
Yeah.
That we're ready to get serious and extend and expand our American values on the global stage. He said that the guy who is running China, who just literally ran his predecessor out to an execution camp, as far as we know, just 2 weeks ago, is ready to compromise.
Yeah.
We literally watched on television as all of the peons behind the elites in China wearing masks, they had to barely turn their heads and use their peripheral vision, while ex-president Hu was taken out by the Gestapo squad.
Yeah.
Yeah, did not want to, I mean, like reaching for help.
Yes.
And they escorted him out. Yeah. And Xi Jinping, dictator for life, didn't even turn his head to acknowledge the man.
Right.
But you're going to tell me that guy's willing to compromise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say he's direct and straightforward, Joe.
Yeah.
He literally escorted a dude out for probably execution. Has anybody heard from President Hoop? Nope. I don't think they have. Escorted the dude out to his death sentence right there on television.
Yeah, yeah. Who is no more?
Who is no more?
Who is gone?
And if who is still here, who ain't happy?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Who's hanging out with a bunch of Uyghurs right
now?
Yeah,
who is making iPhones now? Yeah, and Nikes.
He's chained to a table so he can't throw himself out the window.
Yeah, exactly. He's out there making NBA logo patches.
Yeah.
So knitting jerseys. If who is still here, he ain't happy.
The thing that is so dangerous about this, what we're seeing from Biden here, the equivocation that's just been on display for a long time, it didn't start with him, is this idea that we all have that China is not necessarily a bigger threat than Russia. We all worry about Russia. We talk about Russia. And the unbelievable huge danger is China.
Yeah.
China doesn't just have... Russia has nuclear weapons, and that's about it. They don't have a stable, large economy. They don't have a military force that can do what they would need to sustain a war. They don't have the machinery of war that they would need to sustain something against us. China has most of that. And they have a stable economy. They have a huge economy. So it bothers me. And Biden is out to pasture on basically anything at this point. So I you know, can we get an adult in the room to talk about this? Yeah. But this is something we've got to take more seriously because they're going to eat our lunch.
Yeah. No mean tweets, though. I said.
This is true. No mean tweets.
You know,
Never mind. I stand corrected, Chris. Good point. I'm happy we have no mean tweets now.
I've said for 30 years. I've said for 30 years, you better learn a little Mandarin because it's coming. And we've been cozying up in bed with China for so long on the economic level of things that you know, we just kind of give them a pass, and they're horrible.
And what are we going to do? What are we literally, really going to do when, not if, when Taiwan finally become something they're going after?
Yeah,
because they're going to do it.
Of course they're going to. Again, they see it as a divine right.
Yeah,
they see it as their destiny. They see it, like you talked about Putin, they see it as a legacy,
right?
And I will remind people, you know, when it comes to Russia, God, you know, when I was there in 94 talking about that trip, I was like, this is a third world country. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got your meat hanging in unrefrigerated windows in the middle of Moscow. I mean, this is a third world country. The only thing they ever spent money on was bombs.
This is a country where you know, people, like, men wear tracksuits. That's bad.
And chains.
And chains.
Yeah. And no shirt underneath or a wife beater.
Right.
And look how they struggled in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Everybody thought they were just going to go in there and just wipe Ukraine out. No, they've struggled. If anything, they've
lost.
How
many months has it been going on now?
Yeah, I mean, we're what, eight or nine months?
Eight or 9 months in? Yeah.
I mean, they've struggled in Ukraine.
We all figured it would be over in a day or two.
Yeah.
And no.
Massively struggled. So they don't have that infrastructure. They don't have that war machine. They don't have the manpower.
But what they do have, weirdly enough, and I think this is just a hangover from the Cold War, what they do have is this sort of imminent boogeyman status in our thinking. And that's fine, because they're definitely not our friends. But it's important that we keep our focus where it really needs to be. And right now, that's China.
Yeah.
And we know also... I mean, I don't know how comparable President Xi is to somebody like Mao Zedong, but if he's even close to comparable, there are no limits. There's no limiting principle to expansion of power, to expansion of economic power, global domination in every way that they can do. And I'll remind you, they also have nuclear weapons.
They do. They do. And I'm sure that he has read Mao Zedong's little red book.
Undoubtedly.
All right. We did it yesterday for free. Now we're going to do it for real. It's time to make your health great again as we get close to the new year. For anyone looking to ignite their fat-burning metabolism, boost their energy, and transform how they look and feel,
start taking care of your liver, Your liver is your body's master detoxifier. It performs over 500 key functions in your body every day. That's why so many of us struggle with weight gain and feel tired all the time. Fortunately, there's a simple, all-natural solution that I absolutely recommend. Liver Health Formula. Liver Health Formula contains 12 powerful botanicals clinically proven to recharge and protect your liver. Do you guys drink? You drink? I drink. That affects your liver. This will fix your liver at the cellular level. It helps restore your liver's detoxifying abilities. It boosts your energy levels. It will kick your natural metabolism into high gear. Liver Health Formula is backed by the latest science and approved by American doctors, and every bottle is manufactured right here in America. And right now, as part of my audience, you can try Liver Health Formula completely risk-free, and they'll give you 5 free gifts when you order today. You're going to get a free 30-day supply of nano-powered omega-3. It's a powerful blend of omega-3 fatty acids that supports a healthy heart and brain, 4 times better absorption thanks to the special nano delivery system. You're going to get 4 free ebooks to support every aspect of your health and longevity, regardless of your age. Go to getliverhelp.com/Chad. Claim your your risk-free supply of Liver Health Formula, all 5 bonus gifts. You're covered with a whole year, 365-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to risk. That's getliverhelp.com/Chad, or you can call and talk to them, 800-282-1757. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah, there we are. We're back.
We're back,
Josh Jennings.
We didn't go anywhere.
How have you been?
Not bad. How about yourself?
You look Christmassy.
I am a little Christmassy today, yeah. Yeah, I'm all right. I was had a little bit of a cold. Thought I had the woo flu again, and I did not. I was fine.
So. I found it funny that I mentioned this the other day, that G and Joe, whenever they were given their opening comments, they didn't mention COVID. It's amazing how Joe didn't bring that up.
Yeah.
Didn't mention COVID to G.
He should have said something along the lines of, hey, when you were escorting that guy out to his death the other day, I noticed a lot of people were still wearing masks.
A lot of people were still wearing masks. you know where that maybe came from? Yeah, what lab that happened? G, when's the last time you've been to Wuhan?
Yeah.
I don't think that's on the tour to China.
Right.
Yeah. G. I miss G.
Though, don't worry. You'll probably be seeing a lot more of him.
What a clown show, dude. What a clown show. I mean, you got the GOP nominated Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
To be, wow.
When did they vote on that?
I don't know. Mark, I was sitting there thinking about it. I was driving in the studio today, and I was like, maybe I'm just going to quit politics. Just be done with it. Don't want to talk about it no more. None. Done.
Just gonna switch over to something more interesting, like coin collecting.
Yeah, or, stamps.
Yeah,
stamps.
The coin. The stamp cowboy. I think that's.
Yeah, I mean that doesn't really Facebook roll off the tongue. Gonna be the coin collecting cowboy.
Your shows will basically just be. It'll be like a replay of the Antiques Roadshow.
Basically, we'll just pull out. Here's a Liberty dollar, and. Here's a stamp with
does it Rosa work Parks. For PBS?
Here's a stamp with Rosa Parks. I found it on the back of a bus. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying I can't throw the jokes in there too.
Yeah, lose the politics but not the jokes. I think that's a solid plan.
Let's go through a couple more clips. I can't get away from China just yet. Okay. Play number 5. This is the Chinese. They're tearing down the COVID borders. They just had the barriers. They've just had enough.
Is this Beijing?
Do we know, Chris? I mean, I would suspect Hong Kong, but I don't know that that's Hong Kong.
Hmm.
These people have had enough, man.
Well, if you remember, I mean, it was just a few months ago, and they covered this, and then it went dark. But in Beijing, they had video of... all the people who were holed up in their massive high-rise apartments, and they were just screaming out the windows of them because they were locked in, basically, and starving to death.
They were locked in.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks ago, they locked everybody down in Disney in China.
Yeah.
They were not allowed to leave Disney.
Yeah, that became a very small world after all.
It was very small.
You stole the joke
world.
Right out from under me, man.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
There was a whole lot of Mulan in there. Mulan, Wuhan. Is there any accident that those rhyme? I don't think there is.
Probably not. Yeah. Probably not.
I'm not even sure Mulan was a Chinese story. I don't know.
It's a good question. I don't know either. I think so.
Could be Japanese. I think it's Japanese.
I don't know.
I think it's Japanese.
Yeah.
Chris?
It is Chinese.
It is?
Yeah.
Mulan's about a Chinese?
Yeah. We should have bet money.
When they redid Mulan in live action, they filmed it in China, and they had to film it in a very strategic way so that you don't see the slave camps. So,
oh shit!
China had to like approve all the way Disney shot, because some of the shots you could see the Uyghurs back in the back doing stuff.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow, indeed.
I mean, you go back to the Olympics, these Winter Olympics we just had, right? And they built that little winter oasis in the middle where all the competitions were taking place, and it was in a chemical wasteland,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, if you backed away from it, it was just garbage.
Yeah, it reminds you of a much bigger scale version of what they used to talk about with North Korea, where you would get the occasional delegate or envoy who was allowed to go into North Korea, and they would basically build like a small show town.
Like a set.
Yeah, a set to show them, like, oh, look how prosperous we are. Look how amazing North Korea is. And it was all a sham. So... It seems like a kind of a theme.
I'm getting excited about our future. Like, there's so many things to look forward to.
Yeah, you know? post nuclear apocalypse, like, man, rebuilding.
Yeah, start memorizing the Constitution and your Bibles, and mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm telling you.
Do you have? Sorry to get off on a rabbit hole here, but do you have like a bug out bag or something like that you carry around with you? Because I do.
Why do you want to know?
Because I need to know whether or not to include you in my team or to be on yours.
I'm reasonably prepared for a lot of things. You know, I order the iodide and all that stuff, and the droplets, too. You know, so it's the world we're living in.
Yeah.
You know, let's be real clear. I you know, I got children I want them to live a long, prosperous, happy, fruitful life. And I pray God will have mercy on all of us in regards to this life. But, you know, ultimately your bug out bag should be Jesus. And and you should
that's
be
a t-shirt right
you
there.
Should yeah
Jesus is my bug out bag.
He chuckles as I write in my notes, but
yeah, right.
You know, I hope you guys are clinging to the hem of the Savior, man.
Yeah.
You know, look, we could joke about this stuff, but we are, you know, our days are short on this mortal coil, So, you know, we ultimately, whether it's now or later, whether you meet the Undertaker or the Uppertaker, one way or another, we're getting out of here at some point in time.
For sure.
And that's why, you know, I always put these things, our little debates and our arguments, into perspective, because, you know, there's a handful of these world leaders out here dictating how the rest of the 8 billion of us are going to live and die the rest of our days. And these guys can't seem to get along because, again, they're trying to fulfill their destiny and leave a legacy.
Yeah.
But yeah, these guys have too many buttons in front of them.
Oh, for sure. Someone once asked Albert Einstein how he thought the next world war was going to be fought after World War II. He said, I don't know how the next one's going to be fought, but the one after that will be fought with sticks and stones.
Mm. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So cheery stuff, folks.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It really, really is. Our global enemies love the fact that we can't get along inside this country. They love that ideologically we can't, you know, we're fighting over.
They help promote it. I mean, they do things to
the propaganda
push the buttons.
That's there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are some really evil people in the world.
Yeah.
Really evil people who do it in the name of patriotism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Joe, he was getting ready to answer some questions there in Indonesia. Play that clip.
Now, I'm happy to take questions, and I'm told there are going to be four questioners, but I'm not going to do 10 questions from each questioner. All right? Let's just make that clear at the outset here. And so.
Yeah, that's Joe. He's really ready to face the tough stuff.
He's also, I think he's the only president, at least in my lifetime, that I remember who thinks he's funny.
Yeah.
And absolutely is not. Yeah. Has zero comedic timing.
Yeah,
but he thinks he's
he thinks he has really a certain charm and bravado.
Yeah.
That he's pushing on everybody that they're supposed to find charming and bravado-ish.
Yeah.
And he looks like a weak, senile old man.
Yeah.
And he's also the first president that I can recall who consistently says, "I'm told."
Yes.
There are, you know, there's four people I'm supposed to answer questions
from. I'm not supposed to do this. I'm going to get in trouble for
this. And, you know, I don't understand it. You know.
Well, I do. He's 80 years old, and he's acting like he would act if he were in an old folks home. Well,
I was just going to say that.
Oh, I can't go out, Bobby. I'll get in trouble with the orderlies. Like, yeah, no shit.
Chad, don't you remember, you know, like when your grandpa was talking to you and he was about to say that, like that naughty joke that grandma does not like.
Yeah.
And he always said, well, grandma doesn't like this. Well, let me tell you this. Like, he's literally America's senile grandpa.
Great grandpa.
Yeah, it's sad.
It is sad, dude. It's
too bad he doesn't think that he's going to get in trouble before he sniffs somebody's hair.
Yeah. and that kind of stuff, I think he does it without even thinking. He's done it so much.
Yeah, sure.
You know, those videos, and I just say because I saw some of them this week again, where he inappropriately is holding on to people and wrapping his hand around and putting his stomach on people's belly or touching them in a certain way. And I'm like, the cringe, it's so horrible, dude.
Yeah.
You watch that thing, you're like, oh my God, it feels so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it reminds me not to do it to other people.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like when you did it to me this morning, I was like,
weird.
Yeah, I
feel it like was Joe's real weird. Room.
But man, look, I pray. That's all I can say. Pray for your own soul.
there is good. There is so much good in our lives that should be examined and remarked upon. I mean, it is not like everything is in the toilet, but. But preserving that good is the province of our thought as well.
It's circling the bowl, but if you'll reach in real quick and grab it out, save that one shiny turd.
Yes, agreed.
That's our philosophy in life.
Yeah. I like it. That's another T-shirt right there.
Jesus is my bug out bag. Hair loss can be tough. You see it in the pictures. Barber points it out to you. You see it in the mirror. You put on caps and cowboy hats. And what are you going to do about it? If your plan is to shave it off, don't do it. Save it with Keeps. Keeps has clinically proven FDA-approved hair loss treatments available online. You don't have to go to the doctor. And you can prevent hair loss, stimulate hair growth, take better care of the hair you have. Keeps has medical providers that will help you find the right products and develop a personalized hair-saving routine that works for you. It's easy. No waiting rooms, no pharmacy visits. Keeps is delivered straight to your door at about half the cost of the traditional pharmacy. And if you have questions, you can message your Keeps provider 24/7. If you're ready to take action, join thousands of guys who have saved their hair with Keeps. Visit keeps.com/loss. Get 50% off your first order. That's KEEPS.com/loss. Keeps.com/loss. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, folks. You know what time in the show it is. Let's talk about soccer. That's something you never thought you'd hear me say. Let's talk about soccer. I mean, if you're not keeping a finger on the beating pulse of the U.S. soccer team and its comings and goings, I mean, what are you doing with your life? If your answer to that question is literally anything at all, even just breathing with no words, I'll accept that as a perfectly reasonable answer. Let's be honest, folks, nobody cares about soccer. There'll be those of you who say, yeah, sure, I know millions and millions of people around the world go to soccer games all the time, hooting and hollering and beating the crap out of each other and whatnot. But, you know, those folks aren't even real. And on our own American soil, you have to ask yourself why, after the age of 13 or so, anyone is playing soccer. Nevertheless, no doubt as recompense for our sins as a nation, we do, in fact, have a U.S. soccer team, and it will, in fact, be going to the World Cup in Qatar soon. Now, for those of you who just made a masturbatory gesture in my general direction, I feel you. I mean, not literally, but I get it. Who cares, right? Well, they're about to precipitate some pretty unpleasant feelings on the part of the people who will be hosting them because they decided recently to replace the red, white, and blue base of their crest with, of course, rainbow colors. And why?
because, of course, LGBTQ people need support. And a spokesman for the team said, "Our rainbow badge has an important and consistent role in the identity of U.S. soccer. As part of our approach for any match or event, we include rainbow branding to support and embrace the LGBTQ community, as well as to promote a spirit of inclusiveness and welcoming to all fans across the globe. As a result, locations that we will manage and operate at the FIFA World Cup, such as the team hotel, media areas, and parties, will feature both traditional and rainbow U.S. soccer branding." So here's the problem I have with this, and I'm guessing it's the problem you might have with it too. Identity is a funny thing. Now, most of the time on this program, we talk about how dangerous identity politics is because of the internal strife it foments within our nation. Now, ironically, if ever there's a time to be identitarian, it's when we represent our country to other countries in the world. When we compete on the world stage in any sort of international event, we are representing American exceptionalism, American fortitude, American ingenuity, and the list goes on. What we're representing is America as a whole, the melting pot into which we have poured all races, faiths, ethnicities, and even sexual preferences. And to single out one of these things, one of these groups, and put them at the forefront just so you can signal your virtue to the world, well, it weakens the melting pot framework in the eyes of the globe. It undermines the whole endeavor because it states loud and clear that despite what we all used to think, the red, white, and blue does not stand for everyone in our country. It's mostly something that we all see as silly, but it's also a dangerous thing because the basic social contract of America has to be so plain, so simple that the dumbest among us can both get it and act within its strictures. And the most intelligent among us can weave it into complex ideas and things that reach beautifully into the future and might stand for thousands of years. The U.S. soccer team and their decision is a fairly minor example of the degradation of American culture into warring subcultures, much like soccer itself is a minor example of sports. I said what I said, folks. I said what I said. But that doesn't mean we should ignore it. I guarantee you the people of Qatar will not. So they're taking the gay emblem right to the Middle East, dude.
I got to say, Chad, you are one eloquent son of a bitch.
It's true, man. The words just flow. The words just flow.
Yeah, how about that? That's a weird thing to kind of hang your hat on constantly and never stop. Just, you represent America. Yeah. I mean, the gay community, the LGBTQ community, if you want to call it that, in America, is part of America.
I mean, like, it's a game where you kick balls.
Yeah.
Right.
This is true.
why do you that's gay? Why do you want to equate that with gay lifestyle? I don't understand. It's,
this is true. Know? Yeah.
It's a bunch of dudes kicking balls.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was trying to think of a joke that was just dirty enough but not so dirty.
No.
You know, somewhere in that, but nothing came.
I mean, it's gay enough when you scream FIFA. You know. Oh man, I don't know, and I don't hate soccer. I'm just not entertained by it. Right? I get it.
Can I tell you a funny story? So my kid, my oldest kid, plays soccer, and so I go to the games, and I've never been a huge sports fan. Shocker, I know. At first I was so bored, but then I got into it gradually because it was my kid, and I started to get to know him and his teammates and all of that. So I kind of got into it. But what happens is I'm sitting there on the sidelines of these games, and soccer moms will stand there and scream at the top of their voice advice to their kids who are playing. Now, their kids aren't even listening to their coach,
yeah,
who's also screaming advice at them. They're definitely not listening to mom, who's yelling generic, like, you know, run the ball type things all the way up. And it really frustrated me. It got really annoying. And finally, I kept saying to my wife, like, one of these days, I'm going to say something. And I finally did. I decided to do it in the most passive-aggressive way possible. These kids were running up the field, and I just yelled out, "You should probably diversify part of your portfolio into gold." And my wife got really mad at me.
Yeah,
because it was embarrassing. Good. But I thought it was fun.
Text Chad to 989898. Birch Gold.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so. We're all about free ads around here. Anyway, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, you're taking that whole gay emblem to the Middle East. I don't think that's a wise.
Yeah. I mean, are you trying to start a problem? I mean, no. Yeah. Look, I assume that you, like myself, are not in favor of the type of culture that, for example, throws gay people off of buildings.
Right.
Okay, we're not cool with that. But on the other hand, poking the like yeah. stick into the hornet's nest is maybe yeah. not always the best way to go about
poking
things.
The Islamic bear is, for that reason, is not, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
There's better
ways. But again, you want to represent America or represent America.
Right.
We have our symbols. We have our deal. You're making a global demonstration. I said the same thing about Joe Biden dressed up in his little China outfit when he's over there with Xi Jinping walking around yeah. in his little, you know, tunic or whatever the hell it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, that's such a bad look. Like, yeah. that's not what presidents wear.
Yeah, no, it's not. And I understand Trump did it too. Everybody said, Trump did it, but he was into the Philippines. Not when he's with your, you know, geopolitical enemy.
I missed it with Trump. I didn't know he did that, too.
He wore a very ugly shirt in the Philippines. Those shirts are not. They're not for fat white guys.
Well, look, I'll say the same as the goose. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. You're right. There's a difference between the Philippines and China. But still, I mean, I think maybe a fairly large complaint about Trump over the course of his tenure in office was that he did not exactly bring a lot of presidential gravitas to the role.
The decorum, yeah.
Yeah, the decorum. So, I mean, fair enough. If I'll say the same for him as I would for Biden.
Yeah.
It looks bad. Like we have our standards.
And
let's
said
hold
so.
Those up.
I said so. I didn't think it was a good idea. Talking about gravitas, if you can't decide to get what to give this holiday season, I want you to give the gift of comfort, convenience, and quality. I'm talking about my UnderTack underwear. That's right. Quite possibly the most comfortable pair of men's boxers ever created. And I'm serious about this. These aren't normal boxers. These have literally been tested by special forces in places we aren't authorized to talk about. And they've been tested by me. But that's not all. UnderTack is made with Modal. Think of it like cotton on steroids. It's 50% more moisture wicking, naturally antimicrobial, and it's way softer. It's seriously way softer. Sturdy yet comfortable, extra wide waistband. Fly design is brilliantly straightforward. UnderTack is durable, ultra light, fade resistant, shrink resistant. And here's the best part, almost 30% less than the competition. So go pick up a drawer full of them today. UnderTack.com. That's UnderTack.com. 20% off site-wide with the offer code CHAD20. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. By the way, UnderTack donates a portion of its profits to veteran-run organizations that are actively fighting human trafficking, which we love. UnderTack.com. That's UnderTack.com. And then when you're there, use offer code CHAD20. We'll be right back. So for the first time, we saw this week that DeSantis is leading in the betting odds
right.
for being the Republican nominee.
Yeah.
Trump has always led in that. And I think he's running at like +160.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly don't find that terribly surprising. Do you?
Me either.
I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there who don't want to hear this and who don't want to think this, but I mean, I think personal opinion. I think that Trump's star has kind of faded. I think he's probably either is or should be on the way out. I think that I don't think he will do this, but I think that the wise thing on his part would probably be to hand the mantle over to DeSantis.
Yeah, he ain't gonna do that.
And
it's his to lose. I mean, I think that by and large that is the way things are being persuaded, right?
Yeah.
That's the way the winds of change are tending to blow. I mean, DeSantis is he's been a conservative darling in that regard, and how the things he's done has been. I mean, case in point, this recent Hurricane Ian.
Yeah,
you know, nobody's talking about that because he handled it
right. Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. If you ever want to know how well a Republican politician does, just listen to what's not on the news.
What's not being said in the news.
And again, ironically, the news, the mainstream media is also really trying desperately to keep Trump to the forefront because they want Trump to run.
Yeah.
Because DeSantis is
formidable.
He's very formidable. He's not only all the good things that Trump was, he's not a lot of the bad things that Trump was. And I'm understandably worried about that.
And I can make arguments either way. I can, but I we'll see. You know, I've said what I'm going to say about it. I've said positive things about both men consistently, even recently. And I'm just like, I'm not going to get in that debacle of debating between the two of them. And I get that there's all those folks out there who are like, how dare you say anything bad about Trump? How dare you not say something bad about Trump?
Right, exactly.
The man wants to be the leader. Listen, if you want to lead this country, you got to be capable of being criticized.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do everything right. And we've got to be able to call that out.
He's not doing everything right now.
You want to watch a man fail and take everybody with him? Put him in a place where he's above accountability.
Mm-hmm.
You put any person, that's why our government was set up with a system of checks and balances. You let somebody get to a point where there's no accountability. I don't care who you are. You get to a point, I don't care if it's a celebrity or a church leader or whatever, you are asking that man or woman to fall.
Absolutely.
You're asking them to fail.
Yep.
People are not made to live without some form of accountability. So it's unwise to allow Trump or DeSantis or anybody that's out there to go without some level of critical thought and critique to go along with it. You should.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, to that same point, you know, the sort of the photo negative of that is on our part as people who are electing these people. You know, I've said many, many times all of the things that I think Trump did right as a president. So this is not me engaging in Trump derangement syndrome. But the truth of the matter is there is a cult of personality built up around this guy that is not healthy for the nation. It's not healthy for individuals. And we can't keep doing this. If Ron DeSantis ends up being the front runner, don't form a cult of personality around him. He's a public servant. He's there to serve at your will. He's not your God. He's not your king. He's not royalty.
Yeah.
None of these things. And I know people, I'm related to people whose loyalty to an individual person supersedes at times their loyalty to their country. And that's not good.
Right.
That's very unhealthy. So let's learn our lesson from what happened with Trump, and either going forward, let's treat him differently. Or let's treat the next person differently in the sense that we can't worship these people.
Yeah. My biggest fear is that DeSantis does end up, and he hasn't even said he's running.
Right.
But I mean, you know, my fear is DeSantis runs, he gets the nomination, and then Trump runs as an independent.
Yeah. I mean, we've already seen that Trump is not above bashing him even before the midterms.
Yeah.
I mean, before the election.
I mean, and people will say, oh, we should have independence. We should, but I also live in reality.
Yeah.
and I know exactly what's going to happen, and you do too. You can argue it till you're blue in the face, but right. You know what's going to happen.
It'll be ugly.
Oh, boy. Wow. All right.
This has been nothing but downers stuff episode,
and I was sitting here thinking, how can we end this week on a positive note?
We got to talk.
There ain't shit. Ain't a damn thing. I want to go,
I'm going bowling tonight. That's positive.
We need to go bowling together.
We should. I've heard you like to bowl as well.
I love to bowl.
And it sounds like you're pretty good at it.
I'm pretty good. I'm a good bowler.
Real drunk, so we're on the same level.
A buddy of mine lives downtown Fort Worth, and he's got his big high-rise condo has a floor that's a like a game room, like a whole entertaining area, and they got one of those 16-foot shuffleboard tables. I think it's really long, you know.
Yeah.
And he was like, we were all down there. It's me and Steve Helms and him, and he had a person on his team, and we beat him. You know, we played a little conservatively, and then he's like, wanted to put some money on it on the shuffleboard. And I was like, oh boy, I'm about to light you up. Money falls down on the table. It's on.
I did not know you were a shuffleboard player.
We lit them up. I mean, I play music for a living. I'm in a lot of bars.
And you're old, so yeah. 50. I mean, I guess it's kind of a prerequisite.
Not shuffleboard with the sticks. Shuffleboard on the table.
I didn't know there was a difference.
Yeah, you got to look that up. That's a Texas thing.
Yeah, you salt the table, and you got your metal puck, and you roll it, and it goes down. Yeah, not shuffleboard with a stick.
Okay.
Similar concept, but you're playing on a table, 16-foot table.
All right. I'll have to play it.
It rolls on top of the salt. So like an
air hockey, except without the air.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you evenly sprinkle the salt on the wood.
Interesting.
And then, boom, you go down there, and you don't want it to go off the edge on the sides, and you want to get as close to the edge on the end.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
you're going to have to invite me to come play
sometime. We'll play some shuffleboard. Yeah. It's a pretty intense deal.
I like it.
There's leagues out there. It's legit stuff.
There's people out there playing soccer, so of course there's people playing shuffleboard.
I would show up for the shuffleboard tournaments quicker than I would the soccer tournaments.
Sure.
But anyway, I don't know. I guess that's the only positive thing going on in our world.
I guess so.
Is my competitive bowling, your competitive bowling, and you learning shuffleboard in the very near future.
Yeah, yeah, and betting money on it.
Yeah, and all weekend long, I am in Port Charlotte, Florida, and I want people to come to the shows. I'm trying to get Steve Dace to come to my show in Ottumwa, Iowa, December 3rd. I don't think he'd like it. I don't think he'll come.
If you do a segment where you tell a joke in Klingon or something like that, I bet he'd be fine.
Yeah, that will never happen. That will never happen. I can never go that level nerd of you, and I would mispronounce all the Klingon words anyway.
So. Yeah, but who's gonna know?
I don't know.
Steve Dace, that's who.
Steve Dace would know. Steve Dace probably wrote a Klingon dictionary.
Probably.
Yeah. I told Steve the other day, I said, let's write a book together. I said, he's got a new movie coming out based on nefarious plot.
Right.
And he's like, sure, let's do it. And I'm like, I said, shoot, Steve, at this point, I'll do a 70-30 split with you. I'll let you have the 70%. He said, I like them numbers.
Right.
Yeah. That dude can pick football. You know that?
Yes.
He knows.
Yeah, he's sharp on that. He's sharp on election stuff, too.
A lot of stuff. He pissed people off election night. It was funny watching the live chats. But anyway, I don't know, man. I do, man. I pray for our country. I pray for our world. And this is what happens when you take your ideologies, your inclusivity, your acceptance, all these different things to be social justice warriors and put that stuff in leadership. And it's like, you know, I want this guy to fly the plane because he's nice.
Right.
That has never been a requirement. For me to pick a pilot or a captain when I get on American Airlines, he's nice. You know, that's not what I need to know.
Can he avoid that mountain?
That's not what I need to know. You know, but he's been here for a long time. Like, you know, he's always been the guy who gets out there on the little jet bridge and he backs it away and stuff. And it's like, he's worked for Delta for 30 years. Let him fly the damn plane.
Right.
I don't want that good old boys club. Hang tight. We'll be right back. All right, Josh, thanks for sitting in, hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
I always like getting your perspective. And hey, for the record, when you hear me wax eloquent, that's a lot of Josh Jennings words. He's a great writer for Blaze TV. And
thank you.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
And we're working on some new projects together.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Coming soon.
Yeah, and if you never have gotten the work we did together called Am I Crazy? Am I Crazy? go get that book where books are offered. Every now and then people send me pictures of them. They're at the Barnes & Noble or whatever, and they happen to run into it. So,
yeah.
Hey, subscribe to Blaze TV, blazetv.com/Chad. Use promo code Chad. I'm going to be taping overtime here in a minute. I want to give you a little more deeper spiritual perspective on how we're looking at these times. And if you didn't watch last week's overtime, get that one too. We'll see you at overtime. Have a great weekend. Love you. God bless you. Bye.